Amen. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but it's kind of a difficult thing to bring up, but I think it's unfortunately, especially in the days that we're living in, the days of apostasy, but you got to deal with it. But have you noticed that sometimes churches are messed up? Yeah. Yeah, just go walk around for a while. Right, they are messed up. In fact, for proof, you don't have to look any further than, kid you not, their bulletins. Have you noticed that? And we've already dealt with this before, but they just don't stop. They don't stop. In fact, I found another list of actually printed in church bulletin. Okay, it's crazy. It's all messed up. But let's take a look at this one, okay? It says this. The outreach committee has enlisted 25 visitors to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church. So come on down. Join the affliction, right? It's crazy. Here's another one. It says, listen, it's the ladies' Bible study will be held Thursday morning at 10. All ladies are invited to lunch in the fellowship hall after the BS is done. Not a good time to shorten it. Not a good time. Right? Right? Hey, the audience is asked to remain seated until the end of the recession. I got to go to the bathroom. I got stuff to do. What are you talking about, man? Hey, stewardship offertory. Jesus paid it all. Yeah, I don't have to give. It's awesome. That's encouraging. Hey, here's one. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Yeah. Yeah, that'll get them to turn out, right, John? That's big attendance right there. Hey, the music minister invites any member of the congregation who enjoys singing to join the choir. spell check. I think it's supposed to be singing. But apparently the congregation took it serious. Watch this. Today's sermon is how much can a man drink with hymns from a full choir? Yeah. Well, he told them to go sin. Apparently they took it serious, and so did these guys. Next Sunday, Mrs. Vincent will be the soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on, it's a terrible experience. Well, she's probably half drunk. He told her to go out there and get sloshed. Hey, the concert held in the fellowship hall was a great success. Special thanks to the minister's daughter, who labored the whole evening at the piano, which as usual fell upon her. Well, fix the thing, will you? I mean, tell you what. Right, and speaking of which, hey, on Wednesday, the song fest was hell at the Methodist church. You know what I'm saying? Well, now it's spreading. Everybody's singing in the choir. I don't know what's going on. Hey, the evening massage is at 6 p.m. That'll get them to come, right? And apparently a lot of people are getting into it because the pastor's on vacation, so the massages can now be given to the church secretary. So apparently she's earned it, apparently. But hey, the Reverend Aaron spoke briefly, much to the delight of his audience. That ain't funny. What are you guys talking about? Hey, speaking of which, during the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon. And who can forget this one? The preacher will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, "Break forth with joy." That's all right. That's not a good sign. Okay. No wonder he left. But how many guys say churches, man, we mess things up all the time, right? Well, folks, I'm telling you, as bad as that is, to me, probably one of the biggest things that churches mess up in our days is never, ever, ever, ever preach on Bible prophecy. I mean, it's only one third of the Bible. Hello? Okay? In fact, just to give you a little teaser of how much of a reality that is, the last conference I was just at, won't say where, okay, just last weekend, after it was over, me and the other speaker, one of the pastors on staff there came up to me, and he said, "Pastor Billy, we're so excited. Thank you so much for coming. But you need to know, this is the first time in 25 years that we've been taught prophecy." Now that's messing things up. And the reason why is because guess what? People never hear about what's coming to the planet. It's called the 7-year tribulation, and as we've been seeing, it's not a joke. The Bible says that is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet for 7 years nonstop. Jesus said that it's the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of what? Love. And how does he demonstrate that love? Yes, praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ making a way out of this mess. But guess what? You got no excuse. It's been in here for 2,000 plus years, right? Depending on the passage, Old and New Testament, he's been telling us that you need to get saved if you're not. Or if you are saved, get busy living for Jesus. Time is running out. Amen. Okay, so we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. As you can see, we've already seen the first two signs that the 7-year tribulation is obviously getting close. Again, we don't know the day nor the hour, but it's getting close. We saw that with the Jewish people and the Antichrist. 20 weeks we dealt with that. And then what we've been dealing with is the second sign, the last 8 times, is modern modern technology and the AI invasion. Now, so far we've seen the first six future prophecies concerning what God predicted in the last days would come, dealing with modern technology, and eventually, Lord willing, if the rapture doesn't happen, we're going to get eventually to AI, artificial intelligence. Now, what we've already seen so far is the increase of travel across the planet is a major sign from the book of Daniel. Then we saw the increase of communication. Then we saw the increase of distribution. Then it was the increase of electronic transactions, a cashless society. And then even backing that up with electronic markings, the mark of the beast aspect. And last time we began the new one, the electronic monitoring issue. Now, of course, what we're talking about, if you weren't here, is the Big Brother issue that the Bible says has to come on the planet, certainly in the seven-year tribulation, because we saw there in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to literally micromanage the planet. And they're going to order people to do stuff. And if you don't do it, they're not only going to know who didn't do it, but they're going to be able to give an order to take you out, to kill you. Okay, you need some sort of a Big Brother global surveillance society to pull that off. Now, we saw the first way it's not coming, it's already here, that they're laying that groundwork to pull Revelation 13 off is with an information system. And not just an information system, but a Big Brother information system. And what we saw, folks, is whether we realize it or not, okay, there is already in place massive amounts of databases to identify who we are, where we are, what we're doing, who we're hanging out with at any given time. And they're doing that through different ways. Secular companies, the NSA, and we left off on that encouraging word from social media. Huh? You wonder why Facebook needs to be called Tracebook? Well, that was our study last time. But also any social media. It could be Twitter. It could be Instagram. All those things are being used against us to build these massive databases on us, even predict when we're going to get out of line. Remember that? We left off with the pre-crime issue. Right? And so that when somebody gives an order, dare I say, in the seven-year tribulation, you need to worship me, they're going to know exactly who isn't doing it, and they're going to not only keep you from running and hiding, but they're going to shut you out of the system. You cannot buy and sell. Where have I heard that before? Hey, sounds like Revelation 13. You're right. Now, I'm sorry, you guys, if we run a little bit late, I got to deal with this. Remember we spent 30 weeks on spiritual warfare? Right? You guys don't understand what I'm dealing with just preaching God's word. Because right now, apparently somebody thinks they're being funny, right? And they put a picture of a demon right in my line of sight. Yeah. So. But you know what? By the grace of God, I'm going to still preach. So that's not going to distract me. Wow. We must be a family here. Oh, thank you. They turned it back. I still see the silhouette. But anyway, that's right. But we'll just keep pressing on, you know what I'm saying? All right. But that was just the first one, the aspect of the information system. What we're going to see today, talk about, again, a jungle. We're like in a cage. I kid you not, folks. I knew it was deep, but after this study, I didn't realize how deep. Okay, and what we're going to deal with today, the second Big Brother type of surveillance system that they've already put into place, it's not coming, it's already here, folks. And that is the satellite system. And basically what we're going to take a look at in our study today is the Big Brother eye in the sky. Okay, it's not just there, but it literally is, whether we realize it, see it, believe it, feel it or not, it doesn't matter. It's going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I believe it has everything to do with creating and leading to this horrible slaughter that we're going to see in the seven-year tribulation. And it also makes sense as to why Jesus said, unfortunately, those who are left behind and find themselves in this time frame, you need to run. Because this is going to be a time of horrible slaughter. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And Matthew, of course, was written by Matthew. You guys are biblical scholars. We're going to look at verses 15 through 22. We're going to be taking a look at the halfway point of the seven-year tribulation. The event that Jesus said, and Daniel said, and Paul said, as we've seen before, is called the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple, declares himself to be God. So this is the halfway point, is the time frame. But notice when Jesus said, when that event takes place, what should you do? Now, first of all, you, if you're not saved, need to get saved. So you don't go there, and you don't have to worry about it. Okay? But he says, unfortunately, for those who make that mistake, here's what you need to do, because it's going to be horrible, right? But let's take a look. Verse 15, as we stand and read God's word. Here's what Jesus says. So when you see, standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea, what? Flee where? to the mountains. In fact, he says, let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. In fact, let no one in the field go back to get his clothes. Why? Because how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers.
How many of you guys realize that pregnant women and nursing mothers, especially when they're ready to go? Where are you at? Okay.
You're probably not going to get first place in the marathon. Right? It's just a very practical thing. I say it's going to be hard to run, right? I hope that that's not you, right? And then he goes on, he says, and in fact, pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath, right? Why? Because then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. In fact, if those days had not been cut short, no one, how many? No one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You may be seated if you can there. But again, we're dealing with this classic passage from Jesus. He says that in the 7-year tribulation, again, the halfway point, the Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple. He commits the abomination of desolation. He declares himself to be God. And Jesus says, unfortunately, if you find yourself in that time frame, and again, please don't find yourself in that time frame. There is time today, at least, go to Jesus. Right? Escape the whole thing. But he says for those people in that time frame, he said your only option during this time is to flee. You need to get out of there. You need to run. You need to hide. Why? Because other passages tell us that the Antichrist is going on a hunting spree. And he is going to slaughter people, starting with the Jewish people. We saw this before in Zechariah 13, verses 8 through 9. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3, the context of the Jewish people, how many will be struck down? 2/3 and perish, yet 1/3 will be left in it. As we saw before, Revelation 12, the archangel Michael protects 1/3 of the Jewish people. God always has a remnant. He's not done with them, right? This third, he says, I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name. I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. And again, this is the good news, bad news aspect of this text. The good news is, praise God, the Jewish people finally wake up. Oh man, did we make a big mistake. I can't believe we followed this Antichrist guy. They wake up, they realize that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. That's great, but it comes at a horrible price. 2/3 of them are going to die. The Bible tells us, we saw in a previous study, the Jewish people and the Antichrist. Unfortunately, another Jewish Holocaust is coming, okay? And if you and I want to benefit them, we need to share the gospel with them now. Jew or Gentile, you don't have to be in this time frame if you go through Jesus before it's too late. But that's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to a slaughter of the Antichrist, okay? That's at the midway point. If you take a look at just the first half, 1/4 of the earth is going to be slaughtered. Okay, it's a horrible time frame, right? Revelation 6, 3 through 4, 7 through 8. When the Lamb opened the second seal, remember the first seal is when the Antichrist appears. And right after that, shortly after, he shows his true colors. A global war breaks out on the planet. And he says, he opened the second seal and I heard a second living creature say, come. And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay one another. Literally butcher them, chop them up to pieces. Very graphic in the Greek there. To him was given a large sword. And when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, here's where you get the death toll, right? I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power of how much? 1/4 of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So just in the first half, I'm not talking about what we started off with, the unfortunate second Jewish Holocaust is coming. Just in the first half, 1/4 of the earth is going to be annihilated. Folks, if that were to happen today, that's about 1.8 billion people. Nearly 2 billion people are going to die just in the first half. Now, that's just the first half, okay? And that's not even counting, again, the midway point. Now, when you get into the second half, okay, the Bible says another 1/3 of the planet is going up after that, okay? So here we see Revelation 9, 15. And the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year. Stop right there. How many guys would say that God's sovereign? And see, that's a wonderful truth. People say, oh, I don't want to study Revelation. What do you mean to tell me? If one message is clear in the 7-year tribulation, God is in control. Not just of the good times, even the bad times. Satan is not a loose cannon on deck. He only gets to do what God allows him to do. Okay? But it's mapped out, man, for the hour and day and month and year. And they were released so that they would what? Kill 1/3 of mankind. Now, folks, that's the first half, 1/4 of the earth. The second half, 1/3 of the earth. And you do all the math on that stuff, not counting the Jewish Holocaust. Okay, it comes up to about 3.6 billion people. Just in those two judgments. Now, that's not counting all the other judgments. That's not counting the asteroids slamming into the earth. That's not counting the sea turning into blood, all the sea creatures dying, the water becoming bitter so that nobody could even drink it, and many people die. It's not counting any of that stuff, but just those two judgments, again, not even counting the Jewish Holocaust, half the planet's going up. Now, here's my point. No wonder Jesus said, as we just read, it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. Right? This is going to be a horrible, horrible slaughter. You don't want to be here during that time frame, okay? And no wonder there's an urgency to accept him now, because guess what? The offer's not always going to be there. You're not going to get raptured after the seven-year tribulation. That only happens prior. Now, people can still get saved, but unfortunately, as the scripture says, most of those people are going to be slaughtered like flies. Your head's going to be chopped off, Revelation talks about. So it's like, why not avoid it and get saved now? How many times do you hear people say that? Oh, Pastor Billy, that the rapture happens, I'll know that you Christians were right, and I'll get saved then. Are you kidding me? You won't get saved now when it's relatively easy, but literally when your head's on the chopping block, you're going to get saved. Don't kid yourself. Get saved now. But Jesus said this is the worst time in the history of mankind. It's going to be a horrible slaughter. You need to get saved. You need to get saved now. Or if you are saved, get busy sharing the gospel. Don't you realize this is what's coming? This is horrible. Put all the wars in the history of mankind together. Nothing compares to this. It is the wrath of God, and we have the privilege to let people know that there's a way out. Now, let's go back to what he says at that midway point. Remember, a fourth of the earth has already been annihilated. Here comes the second Jewish Holocaust. After that is going to be another third is going to get annihilated. Okay, so but Jesus said at that midway point, when you see that take place, the abomination of desolation, what is your only option? You need to flee, right? Get out of there. He says specifically, he says, don't even think twice about it. Don't say, well, I better go get my survival gear. No! He says, don't even go back to your house. Don't get your cloak. Don't go to the field. Don't go back to work. Don't make a phone call. Nothing. Just run! Why? Because it's going to be a horrible slaughter. And dare I say, the picture that we just saw, the bulk of the people who try to run, they ain't going to make it. They're going to be slaughtered like flies. And I said all that to get to this. And I believe that what's already in place, not coming, with this satellite system is going to help them get the job done. For the first time in mankind's history, folks, whether you realize it or not, Big Brother not only knows is what we saw last week with the information system. He not only knows everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, every contact, everything, even predicting what we're going to do. They not only know that, but they developed a system to monitor us like a bunch of cage rats everywhere we go. And I'm talking anywhere on the planet. Right now, folks, we are secretly being monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with satellites. And again, this whole study, what I'm going to talk about, I'm not even talking once about military satellites. And not just military satellites in our own country, but I won't even talk about those or the militaries around the world. What the satellites I'm just focusing on, and that's a whole other aspect. The satellites I'm just focusing on are the satellites from businesses, private industries, scientists, you name it, folks. Our planet is being monitored right now as we sit here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, live. In fact, one of them that they've already got in place that monitors everything about us is called just that, Live Earth. Watch this.
Live Earth is a real-time mapping platform for visualizing time series data and live data streams. Live Earth delivers real-time situational awareness to help organizations make time-critical, data-driven decisions, leveraging information from disparate sources. Live Earth helps correlate events and uncover patterns and trends by synchronizing weather radar, traffic conditions, connected cars, transportation sensors, video management systems, shot detection sensors, and more. This touchscreen software is built with an intuitive interface that requires little or no training because it borrows concepts from your smartphone and tablet, like pinch and zoom maps, and an interactive timeline, much like you already use to record and play back your favorite TV shows. Live Earth also provides instant replay, which lets you play, pause, and rewind geospatial data over time to quickly reconstruct recent scenarios. Live Earth is configurable and extensible, allowing you to add and remove data sources, live feeds, and map layers to suit your operational needs. Live Earth's advanced visualization delivers the right information at the right time, helping you make the right decisions. With Live Earth, you can see all your streaming data in one place to quickly understand what's happening and act fast when it matters most.
You know, like when somebody's trying to run or flee, when you give an order to worship somebody and they don't want to do it, and the Bible says you're going to be able to take them out. Not just know who didn't, you're going to be able to take them out. Wow, that's interesting. How many of you guys realize that that was already here? Did you see the multitude of ways we're being monitored? Oh, and not only that, the planet is being watched live, right? That's the name of it, Live Earth. Watch live as we sit here, okay, right? And we just thought, are you serious? The technology? This is what bugs me about the news. Every time they show like a military strike, like from a drone or something, or they show like a picture of some satellite that's supposed to be zooming in on some target or whatever, they show this really fuzzy black and white thing. Well, and it gives us the impression with what? I sure hope they improve this technology one day. That's a lie. That's deliberately done, folks. We would freak out if we realized what's already up there monitoring us. Okay. Oh, by the way, did you see it's not just being recorded and watched live in a multitude of ways, and you can just pinch it up, bring it up, be whatever. But did you notice the little DVR thing? Did you see that? Reverse it, go forward, stop, pause. Hey, I wonder what Debbie was doing 3 days. Well, let's just go to Live Earth and let's find out. This is not coming. It's already being put into play to find out who did what, where'd they go. Okay, in fact, so much so, we've talked about this before, but so much so are there so many satellites. And again, I'm not even talking military. I'm just talking what I call over-the-counter satellites. But there's so many satellites out there, folks. They actually have apps that you can download on your cell phone just to see how many different satellites are watching you at any given time. Okay, here's just one of them called Satellite Tracker. Okay, let's take a look at that.
So summertime calls for warm nights out in the backyard, hopefully not too much light pollution, and while you're just looking up at the stars and seeing what's going on up there. But what you might be looking at is probably maybe not a star, it's actually a satellite. And well, if you want to figure out what satellite's flying over you, there's an app for that. This app is called Satellite Tracker. You select how you would like to search for a satellite. You could search by radius. You could search just by, like, there's a globe mechanism you'll see. You can search by satellite name if you know the name of the satellite you'd like to find. Or you can do a map search, which will search wherever you want it to. So we're going to do that one. And I'm going to point to a spot, and we're going to figure out what is flying over us right now, if anything. So as you can see, this is a map of the world that we are in right now. This is Earth. And if I zoom in over here, I'm going to zoom in right above San Francisco. Okay, there's Santa Rosa. We're getting closer. Okay, so we're right about here. I'm just going to... Boom, there's Petaluma. All right, so I'm going to confirm this point, and now it is going to show us, okay, use pinch and expand gestures, so I'm going, you can expand confirm how much of the radius you want, okay. Or you can make it smaller if you would like it to be very, like, obvious. I'm going to just make it bigger for the sake of this. Confirm your radius, and then confirm your category, and then boom, there you go. You got satellites.
All those satellites are above us right now?
All those satellites are flying above us right now.
Did you notice how many there were in just that small radius? And they're even moving in real time. Folks, our planet is completely blanketed with these things, okay? And I don't think any of us have an idea. Now, let me give you an idea of just how many are up there. This is actually from the ESA, or the European Space Agency. Right? And this is their graphic. And this shows you just how many satellites there are. No, those are not gnats. Those are not somebody. Don't make a noise. Every single one of those is a satellite. Right now, orbiting our planet. You starting to feel like a caged animal yet? Being monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, now, it's also common knowledge, if you can do the research, folks, the satellites aren't just up there, but they really are monitoring us. In fact, what they even deem is appropriate behavior. Right? Let me just give you a couple examples of that. They're not just being monitored for military personnel, that's a given, but all boat traffic around the world is being monitored with these satellites. Did you know that? Garbage men in England are being watched right now from the sky with satellites to make sure they don't linger in one spot too long. Right? The satellites looking after them. In England, they're using satellites to track the speed of motorists. I don't think you're going to have a radar detector for that one. I don't know, maybe you could use that app. I don't know. They're monitoring farmland, not just in Australia, but basically every country you can think of, including our own, to look for, you know, crop yields and food production. In the United States right now, our state governments are using satellites to search for, listen, unreported improvements to your property. All right, because, I mean, hey, did you get that permit to build that shed back there? Right? Because, again, if you didn't, you were losing out on tax money. They're using satellites to do that. Also, not just for work permits, but to check for water use permits, find improper tree cutting. Mm-mm-mm. And whether or not, I kid you not, they're using satellites in the United States of America to see whether or not you turned your lights off on your house to conserve energy. Go Green Deal. Are you kidding me? Now, that generation thinks this is what? The greatest thing since sliced bread. And if you don't want to go along with voluntarily and save the planet along the rest of us, we'll make you. That's what's concerning me, because you and I were like, this is an invasion of privacy on a massive scale. But that generation coming up in power right now, we ain't going to have a choice. They're going to pass this stuff through. It's going to get even worse. In fact, what's interesting is these satellites are not just taking pictures. You saw it's videos. And they're recording it all. Extremely high def. Okay, but they're also have the ability to do all kinds of things. And one of those things that they're looking for is microchips. A lot of these satellites are specifically geared to find microchips anywhere on the planet, including the chips in your phone. Okay, as well. In fact, let me give you one example. This is it's called a satellite constellation. Right? See, we think there's just one satellite up there, and you know, if it goes by, we're good for another 12 hours. They call them satellite constellations. They launch so many satellites in one system that, as you can see here, and this is from Motorola. This is their animation. Look at where they got 66 satellites orbiting the planet, okay, looking for microchips, including the microchip in your phone, obviously, to be able to get your cell phone signal to you. But where on the planet can you hide from those 66 satellites? See, it's all continuous. It's just one constant feed. And that's just Motorola, okay? But again, I'm thinking, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but put yourself in the time of the seven-year tribulation. You saw how many satellites are up there. You see that there is no place to hide, right? But let's say that's the Mark of the Beast technology, like we saw before. Maybe it is some sort of a microchip technology. Well, and then you got these satellites out there. Guess what they're going to be able to find anywhere on the planet, any given time, and there's no place to hide. They're going to be able to scan the whole planet for that marking device. And so if you ever even think about getting out of line, even if you make the horrible mistake of taking the mark, okay, first of all, don't make the mistake of going in there in the first place. Get saved right now, right? But guess what? They're going to find you. There is no place to run or hide. And you wonder why there's such a horrible slaughter that is coming to the planet. They can see everything. Now, the question you might have, which I have, is how in the world did we get into this shape? How in the world did we literally get our whole planet into, literally, we're a bunch of caged rats? How did this happen? How did these people get away with this? Well, like with most Big Brother technology, slowly but surely, they warm us up. They convince us that somehow this is the best thing we need to do. And I want to share with you three quick ways that they've done that. The first way they've conditioned us to accept it, being monitored from the sky with these satellites, is they say, hey, listen, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. Trust us. We have your good in mind when we do this. And now, of all peoples who's also jumping along, and again, I belabor this point. I'm not even dealing with the military satellites around the world, not just our country, but the countries around the world. I'm just talking, if you will, private industries, businesses, people. But one person who's really big on satellite technology and monitoring the planet live 24/7 is Bill Gates. Bill Gates, as we saw before in our abortion study, his dad not only worked for Planned Parenthood, no wonder he's into population control, Bill Gates. That's what his dad was all about. No wonder he's the one that's over there doing vaccinations around the planet. They're killing more people than helping them, and countries are wanting to sue him and the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation. But Bill Gates, of all people, is using his money to make sure that our planet is completely monitored right now, all the time. Let's take a look. Yeah, turn to somebody and say, Earth now being monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you, Mr. Bill Gates. Of all things you need to work on, why are you doing that? Now, did you notice his constellation, satellite constellation? Motorola had 66. How many is he doing?
500.
And again, I'm not talking the military satellites. I'm not talking the other country. I'm just talking, what? Earth is being monitored around the planet. But hey, don't you see it's for your own good?
I mean, especially if you're trying to save the planet.
How many times have we dealt with this before? You think you're going to save the planet? Wait till you see what God does with it in the seven-year tribulation. It's going to be trash, right? It's his planet. He can mess it up if he wants to. That should be a song, right? Okay. You're not going to save the planet. Okay, but anyway, that's the premise, right? We all got to work together. We got to have all these draconian laws. We got to have a global government, a one world religion. We got to save the planet. And this technology from Bill Gates, Earth now, is going to help us get it done. We can save those lost whales, right? We can detect forest fires. That's a big issue. We can capture those illegal poachers. This is for your good. Don't you understand? We can watch over every city. And to prove that it's for your good, we're going to give you access to it. So, do you realize what that is? Here's the justification for that. That's like giving a rat in a cage that is full of webcams, watching the rat's every move, giving that rat a laptop so he can tap into the webcam feed. But it's okay. So what do you give us access to it? What's the end result? Our planet is being watched and monitored on a scale we can't even dream of. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and of all people, Bill Gates. But hey, they say it's for your own good, right? Now, the second way they say is, hey, it's not just your good. Let's demonstrate that to you. It's for your own convenience. I mean, was there life before GPS? I joke about that, and I use that all the time. Believe you me, right? Ladies, you're excited for GPS, aren't you? No? Are you serious? Well, I don't want to start. Let's just move on. All right, GPS, right? Global Positioning Satellite System, right? And they, once GPS came out, remember the old days when you actually had to have this piece of paper called a map? Right? You thought texting and driving was dangerous? Try doing that thing. And it was dangerous for marriage relationships, wasn't it? Honey, I said, where do I go? Turn to your right! GPS came along, it changed everything. It's all for convenience. But GPS takes what? Satellites. And here's some of the things they say, oh, we can't live without it anymore, right? GPS, right? It's location. You can determine a position. Navigation, you get from one location to another. Tracking, you can monitor objects. Personal movement, oh, that's coming handy. Mapping, you create a map of the whole world, not just your city, right? And of course, timing. Bring precise timing to the world, and that's exactly what we got to have, especially if we're going to be rats living in a cage and running the rat race and all that stuff. But again, they say, it's all for our convenience. Don't worry. Yeah, they're up there looking in your every move, but can you exist anymore without these things? We've got to have them. In fact, one of the biggest services that we've become reliant upon for getting around isn't just GPS in general, but it's Google Maps, right? It's built into everything, okay, including the cell phones, and that's everybody uses that now, basically, okay? But now, what's concerning about Google, as we saw in previous studies, Google on record, the co-founders, okay, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, they have gone on record saying that we want to be like the mind of God. That's still in print, last time I checked. And apparently, when you take a look at what else Google is up to, they want to be like the eye of God. Because Google is out there buying up satellite companies, folks, big time, and they are watching everything. But don't worry. It's for your convenience, so we can give you this thing called Google Maps. Let's take a look at that.
Hey, you, over there. I can see you. Where, you ask? Everywhere, because I can just pull it up from a satellite. Hey gang, Trace here for DNews. There was a time when satellite imagery was conspiracy talk, only available to high-level government officials or like spies. But thanks to Google Maps and Apple Maps and Bing Maps and MapQuest and the dozens of others out there, we can see satellite images every day for free. Though we just use them to find the nearest Thai restaurant, usually. When Google acquired satellite imaging company Keyhole in 2004, they changed the whole game. Now anyone could look down on the planet and make comments. Today, the actual satellite images are taken by companies like TeleAtlas, Digital Globe, EarthSat, Skybox, and others. They're then sold or licensed to governments and companies for geology, mapping, urban planning, shipment tracking. The applications are pretty much endless. A few months ago, regulators loosened restrictions on US-based Digital Globe, so last week they launched the new WorldView 3 satellite, their highest resolution sat ever. Which means in a few weeks, maps could see images with resolution as high as 20 25 centimeters. Basically, they'll be able to see a piece of paper that you're holding. They want to launch satellites with a 10 centimeter resolution. It's about the size of your phone screen.
Now, wait a second. I thought you told me it was just about creating maps for us so we don't get lost. Why do you want to have that kind of resolution? And can I tell you something, folks? I believe that's already here. It ain't coming, that kind of resolution, right? So, but why? Why would you? What happened to just the map thing? Well, when you go even further, folks, I'm serious. They not only want to be like the mind of God, they want to be the eye of God. And they want to determine not just how to get around. They want to determine what's appropriate a behavior and what's not, according to them. And again, under the guise, we've got to save the planet. Another thing that they have is now called Google Earth. Oops. Now, what's that tell you? It ain't just about creating maps. It's about what? They want to monitor the Earth. Listen, not only monitor the Earth, but to monitor the Earth 24/7 in 3D. Watch this one.
This is the Earth, all 196.9 million square miles of it.
Google Maps is for finding your way. Google Earth is about getting lost. Google Earth is the biggest repository of geoimagery, the most photorealistic digital version of our planet. We're trying to create a mirror world so people can go anywhere.
From mountains to cities to the bottom of the ocean, the imagery has been getting better and better. I was really curious to know, how is Google Earth created? How many images actually make it up? And where do they come from?
So how do we build Google Earth? The way it starts is we look at places that we want to collect in imagery, and then we collect it through a variety of different ways. One is satellites, and satellites give you the global views, and that's all 2D imagery that's wrapped around the globe. When you get closer to the ground, we have 3D data that we collect from planes.
Yes, you heard right, planes. I had always assumed that every overhead photo of the Earth I'd ever seen was taken by a satellite. But I learned creating 3D imagery requires special conditions. So Google flies planes, or as I now like to think of them, street view cars with wings. A typical flight to take photos is around 5 hours. Except the planes aren't going across the country, they're making little zigzags over the same area.
So it's north and turn south. It's sort of like mowing the lawn.
This pattern helps the photos overlap, and multiple cameras help capture a place from different angles.
In planes, we have 5 different cameras, one looking down and forward, back, left, and right.
And this allows them to create a depth map.
And that's just our understanding of how far the things are from the camera. And we take all of these various depth maps from the different cameras, stitch those together in what's called a mesh, which is basically a big 3D reconstruction of the place, and we texture it. And texture it is applying the photography that we took to the sides of these 3D buildings. We did a collective Yosemite National Park, and we were able to actually capture that in really high fidelities with all the different bends that a rock face might have. We use this product called Earth Engine that allows you to look at all of this data and, using computer vision, draw out insights from the things that are changing. So we can track deforestation in the Amazon because we can see how the trees are shrinking and growing. And then from that, we can generate a heat map of the most logged places on the planet. We can also do that with fishing and see the most overfished areas.
And you can just keep multiplying this times all the different levels of zoom that exist in Google Earth, which are over 20. Using Earth feels like one seamless world that you're just zipping around.
Think about it as a health monitor for the planet.
What did you say? A health monitor for the what? The planet. Remember what he said? They not only want to be like the mind of God, but apparently they want to be like the eye of God to determine what's best for the planet. Interesting. Now, if you think that's wild, I'm going to share with you some quotes. This is from Google. They, quote, have intentions of surveying the globe by taking pictures and video footage 3 times a day. We will, quote, be counting the ships, the cars, the shipping containers, the trucks that move around the world on a daily basis, which obviously includes who? People. Right? In fact, this is an article that exposed this. These satellites, it ain't about maps anymore, folks. Everything is going to be monitored by Google. They want to be like the mind of God, the eye of God. Quote, Google satellites can soon see your face from space. What? I thought it was just about maps and convenience, and it's here for your good. And maybe they got bigger plans in order. But don't worry, it's just for your own personal convenience. Don't freak out too much. Which leads us to the third and final way they condition us, is they ultimately say this: it's for your protection. Right? Just trust us. You know, it's for your protection, it's for your own good. We'll get rid of those bad guys. Now, did you see that part there where Google is not just using satellites to create a 3D Earth? Okay, they're using what? Planes. How many of you guys knew that? Now, most of us were familiar down here on the ground with those things called Google streetcars, right? Now, when they first came out, I don't know if you remember that, people was kind of in a ruckus. It's like, hey, what are you doing? I didn't give you permission to do that, and you're driving all over the city and my neighborhood and all that stuff. And then it died down to where now it's the coolest thing ever. If somebody sees a Google streetcar, they actually chase it down to take a selfie, right? Again, that generation thinks this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? But that's Google cars. But how many guys realize they're doing the same things we just saw with planes? And planes are up there with the satellites monitoring us from above. Now, but again, they say, don't worry, it's just for your protection. We're here to do this for you. In fact, they are already, it's not coming, it's already been in place for many years, folks. They are monitoring with planes, also drone technology. I'll get to that in a second. But they are monitoring whole cities at a whack. Live, intimate, crazy video footage of cities. Whole cities are being monitored from the sky. And they actually have a term for it, and it's, don't worry, it's for your own good. It's called persistence surveillance systems. That they are persistently surveying the whole city, whether you realize it or not. And they say, don't worry, don't freak out, because this is going to allow us to catch the bad guys. That's why you need to surrender to all this. Here's just one example of constant surveillance, whether the population knows it or not, in Baltimore. Watch this.
There was just a shooting on Gilmore Street yesterday. Lawrence and Pressman, there was a shooting on that nearby here. I think there was a murder just one street over.
Ross is not a morbid news junkie. The reason he knows about all these shootings is because he saw them happen. In fact, he could bear witness to almost 18,000 crimes over the past few months. Right now, he's pulling into a parking lot in West Baltimore to show us how he sees it all.
They got us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just got a text?
Yeah. He said, gotcha.
That text had come from Ross's office, miles away in downtown Baltimore.
Hey, Alex, what's going on?
So this is your guys in the parking lot right here.
And it was taken from a plane that we could just barely see off in the distance while we were there. But the camera wasn't pointed at us specifically. The plane was taking a picture of the entire 30-mile-wide radius of West Baltimore. That's one 30-mile image every second, all day, every day. And that is what it takes to witness 18,000 crimes.
We do wide area surveillance. We watch cities at a time in order to assist law enforcement in lowering crime rates. We're essentially a Google Earth Live with TiVo capability that allows us to follow people to and from crime scenes.
Here's how it works. Ross and his team listen to emergency calls and police scanners to find the time and place of reported crimes. They go to the live feed that their plane is sending down and start to scroll back and forth through time to actually see the crime take place.
So right here, you can actually see two cars that match the description from the 911 calls. The cars leave the scene here, and we're going to try to follow those cars and see if we can find a final location that they go to. And we'll also follow them backwards in time to see if we can figure out where they came from.
When Ross has enough information, he compiles a report, hands it off to the Baltimore police, and then it's on to the next crime.
We've started off in Philadelphia at one point. We did operations here in Baltimore previously. We've done operations in Indianapolis, Compton, Nogales, Torreone, Charlotte, and we hope to be here forever.
Excuse me, what was the word there? Forever? Well, gee, that would mean you could take this right into the 7-year tribulation. And won't this come in handy? Let's go back to the text, Matthew 24. Jesus said, unfortunately, if you make the mistake of not getting saved before the rapture, you need to get saved right now if that's your case. But if you find yourself left behind and you make it to the halfway point, which that's after a fourth of the earth is annihilated, so have fun with that. But if you make it there, guess what? And the Antichrist goes on his hunting spree, what do you do? What's the only option? Run, flee, get to the mountains, hide. Don't go back for nothing. Get out of there. Why? Because guess what? Don't you think this technology is going to come into play? You won't be able to run or hide nothing, man. They could even, and again, it's being recorded. You can go back in time and find out where they even started from. Where did they go and all that stuff? Okay. But now you're sitting there going, okay, so that's where they find them in the seven-year tribulation, right? But how are they going to take them out? Well, again, remember the premise for this? It's for your own protection. Don't worry. It's for us to be able to find the bad guy. See, that's the slippery slope with this, isn't it? Who determines who's the bad guy? At any moment, the narrative could change. You and I could become a bad guy. Anybody could become a guy. You know what? Somebody who says, no, I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. They're the bad guy. And so they turn this on those guys. And they hunt them down. Now, they're going to know where they're at. But again, what's the other text we saw before in Revelation 13? If you don't do what they say, what's the penalty? You're going to die. Why are they going to take you out? Well, again, you put satellites, you put the planes, but also drone technology. Now, we're getting ready to close, so I don't have time to go into all that technology. I want to hone in on the micro technology. Remember those we saw before? Micro aerial vehicles, MAVs? Right? UAVs are unmanned aerial vehicles, you know, the Predators, the Global Hawks, all that stuff. Micro aerial vehicles are the little ones, the little teeny tiny ones, and they mimic them to look like nature. You thought that was a cheetah, that ain't no cheetah. You thought that was, you know, a cat, that ain't no cat. You thought it was a snake, that ain't no. You thought that was a bird, that ain't no. You thought that was a fly, that ain't no. You thought that was a beetle, that ain't no beetle. That's a micro aerial vehicle that's sent to monitor. And remember, we saw the one from the Air Force? The thing carried a payload. So remember that video where it went into that room? The guy didn't even know it was there. It was flying behind him. And the back of the head shot him and took him out. Folks, that technology is not coming. It's already here. And if anything, Hollywood is letting us know what it's capable of doing. Tell me if this doesn't bug you like it bugs me. Watch this. Doesn't that bug you? It bugs me. Interesting. Actual technology, folks, that's not coming. That's Hollywood's depicting what's already out there. No wonder Jesus says, don't even go back to your home. The bugs could be watching you. Not coming, it's already here. Now, again, we saw that sometimes those, quote, bugs, those MAVs, they carry a payload. So put it all together. Go back to our opening text, folks, as we get ready to close. The Bible says in the seven-year tribulation, after the Antichrist shows his true colors, he declares himself to be God. That's the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, reiterated by Jesus. He said, you better run, you better hide, you better flee. Don't go back to your house. Don't get a cloak. Don't do nothing. Just get out of there. A horrible slaughter is coming. How? How is he going to know who doesn't worship him? How is he going to know where people flee to? And again, how is he going to take them out? You put all this together with the satellite technologies, the plane, the drones, even the MAVs that carry payload. All one guy has to do, technology not coming already here, push a button. And with what we saw last week, with the information, you tell that bunch of MAVs who exactly to go, where to go, and take them out. Very interesting. In fact, put yourself in the 7-year tribulation and somebody having their hands on this kind of technology, I think it explains why there's going to be such a horrible slaughter and such a rapid slaughter, and why the impression we get is hardly anybody's going to be able to escape who disobeys the Antichrist. It might look something like this. Let's take a look.
Pilots directed almost 3,000 precision strikes last year. We're super proud of it. It allows you to separate the bad guys from the good. It's a big deal. But we have something much bigger. Your kids probably have one of these, right? Not quite. Hell of a pilot? No. That skill is all AI. It's flying itself. Its processor can react 100 times faster than a human. The stochastic motion is an anti-sniper feature. Just like any mobile device these days, it has cameras and sensors. And just like your phones and social media apps, it does facial recognition. Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works. Did you see that? That little bang is enough to penetrate the skull and destroy the contents. They used to say guns don't kill people. People do. Well, people don't. They get emotional, disobey orders, aim high. Let's watch the weapons make the decisions. Now, trust me, these were all bad guys. Now that is an airstrike of surgical precision. It's one of a range of products. Trained as a team, they can penetrate buildings, cars, trains, evade people, bullets, pretty much any countermeasure. They cannot be stopped. Now, I said this was big. Why? Because we are thinking big. Watch. $25 million order now buys this. Enough to kill half a city. The bad half. Nuclear is obsolete. Take out your entire enemy, virtually risk-free. Just characterize him, release the swarm, and rest easy. These are available today. We have a distribution network taking orders from military, law enforcement, and specialist clients.
The nation is still recovering from yesterday's incident, which officials are describing as some kind of automated attack, which killed 11 U.S. senators at the Capitol building.
They flew in from everywhere, but attacked just one side of the aisle. It was chaos. People were screaming.
You can see high windows, very small, precisely punctured to gain entry to the building.
What did you do for the victim?
I just did what I could for him. Things weren't even interested in me. They're just buzzing.
Government sources admit the intelligence community has no idea who perpetrated the attack.
Claim relaxing firearm legislation would be useless against the so-called slaughter bots.
Just to stay away from crowds. When indoors, keep windows covered with shutters.
Protect your family. Stay inside.
Bomb! Bomb!
to him.
Oliver, can you hear me? Listen to me.
I can hear it.
Authorities are still struggling to make sense of an attack on university campuses worldwide, which targeted some students and not others.
You know, like people who worship the Antichrist versus people who said no. And you could send out a precision strike and you could mass slaughter people on a global scale. There's no place to hide. Oh, by the way, that was appropriate title, the video there, Slaughter Bots. Technology not coming, technology that's already here. How in the world is there such a massive amount of slaughter on the planet in the 7-year tribulation? A specific slaughter on the planet. Folks, I think for the first time in man's history, we're seeing that technology not coming, but it's already here. And that's why Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, what do? You better stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. If you're a Christian, it's not bad news. It's great news. It just means the rapture's right around the corner. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it's got to be getting close, right? So let's not get distracted. Certainly not fearful. I'm not afraid of going into that time frame. Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus is my victory. Amen? We sang the song about it, right? So what's the point for you and I? Hey, you wouldn't want your worst enemy there, right? So get busy sharing them the love of Jesus Christ. Share the gospel. Finish here as a faithful child, a faithful bride in love with Jesus. Amen? But again, I'll say it again. If you're here today and you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? This is not a game. Why do you think God of all days has you here with this particular study? I'll guarantee you it's because he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to save you before it's too late. Don't make that mistake. Amen? Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks. Let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.